What's good? This is Talorian.
And this is Timothy.
And we are the TNT Podcast.
Yes, sir. Make sure y'all follow our podcast Instagram page at TNT Podcast for all of our content. You can also listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and make sure y'all subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. All links will be in the description. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the TNT Podcast. This is one half of the TNT Podcast, Talorian, and I'm going to let my brother introduce himself like he does so perfectly well.
Yes, sir. This is the other half of the TNT Podcast. Y'all know me by Timothy, and yes, sir, we back.
And we got a special guest. No, you know what? Nah. This ain't no special guest, bro. This is family to the TNT Podcast. Like that. This is my brother, yes. Our brother. Chris T, bro.
Yes, sir. Hey. Yes, sir.
Can we just do a clap right now?
Bro. Yes. Look,
this man has done a lot of amazing things.
Yes, man. Yes, man. I just want to start off by saying, or asking, how you been, bro?
Man, I've been good. Y'all both know, like, a lot more about me personally than y'all do musically. So, y'all know I'm literally all over the place just with, with everything. But I can genuinely say that I'm good. Super busy. Mm-hmm. Lots going on, but I'm blessed. All over the place. Yeah. But I'm blessed. I'm good.
That's good, man. That's good. Got anything planned for the new year? And
oh man, just hang out with my family. Mm-hmm. I'm not able to come back home as much anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna chill with my people. Yeah. We had a game night last night.
Oh nice. Saw you turning up.
Man, it was fun. It was a good time. We probably gonna do something similar today. Mm-hmm. Of course, y'all know I'm a church boy, so Sunday morning, New Year's Eve, watch night service, you know, something like that. So I'm just gonna be with my people. I don't really have anything like too planned out. Mm-hmm. But just hang out with my friends, my family.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, you multifaceted, bro. You know, you playing the sax and singing and, you know, you in education. I'm like, man, I'm just inspired, like, constantly.
Oh, for sure. You know what I'm saying? Sure. You constantly are. I know for a fact you constantly inspiring me. Like, when you dropped the joint, I was like, look, this is one that I gotta like save and make sure that I'm playing 100 times because this is Chris Teague. So
of course. So where y'all want to start, man? Y'all want to get into this project? Where y'all want to start with this, man?
Hey, we can start wherever you want to start, my brother.
Well, I would say my first question is, so I know, you know, like I said, you're multifaceted. You know, you play the sax. You know, you sing. Is it hard? Because I know sometimes you'll sing by yourself without playing the sax. You'll play the sax without singing. Is it hard doing both together? Or at this point, is it just like second nature? You playing both instruments, like playing an instrument and singing. Like I said, it is both instruments because your voice is an instrument. Both instruments. Yeah. So, yeah. Is it hard or is it just at this point like second nature to you?
I will say I'm not a vocally trained person. Like I was never
had me fooled.
I was about to say, really? This is interesting.
I'm not like, y'all know I was in music school.
Yeah.
That's what
I was
undergrad for.
Right.
And that was instrumental. Like I was not a voice student. I was a saxophone student.
Bruh. Okay.
So it's I would say it's harder for me to like really classify myself as a singer. But the past couple of years, it's been mainly that. Like, mm-hmm. It's been more singing than it has been playing. I don't think that it ever gets, like, 100% like, easy to do both or find ways to incorporate both at the same time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've been doing both for so long.
Yeah.
In church, out of church.
Yeah.
Like, I always get booked for, like, special events and weddings. Mm-hmm. When I'm playing sax, it's for a wedding, for a cocktail hour.
Yeah.
Somebody asking me to come and be a special guest on the youth program.
Yeah. I was telling him that early. I was like, I've been knowing you for a while, and I've just known you to sing, just known you to play the saxophone.
Yeah.
So when you started singing, I was like, "You can sing." I was like, "Bruh, what?"
It's very churched. It's really churched for real. I never like the only choral vocal experience I have is through church.
Yeah.
When I got to undergrad, I got in playing saxophone.
Yeah.
I remember going to the head of the school of music or the head of my studio and saying, hey, I want to study voice as well. And they shut that down quickly. They were like, no. we never have students study in multiple studios. I'm pretty sure they're making exceptions now.
But yeah.
When I was in school, there were no exceptions.
Well, y'all were wrong. Goodness.
Super.
He's doing his thing. Wrong.
Everything happens for a reason. It is what it is.
Man.
It forced me to get what I needed outside of that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I was just doing open mic nights on campus. And I joined the gospel choir, and that became a really big thing for me vocally. But I didn't get any of that in my music schooling.
Wow.
That was straight up saxophone. Learned straight up sax.
That is super, super dope. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy playing the instruments more? Or I'm not going to say, do you enjoy it more? Which one do you get more of a euphoric feeling, singing or playing an instrument? Or is it both?
Oh,
that's tough. That's tough.
I think it's very situational. Mm-hmm. I think I find times where singing is very therapeutic for me.
Mm-hmm.
I also find times where playing is also very therapeutic for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to pick, like, which feeling is more euphoric or brings about those types of emotions, definitely singing.
Okay.
Mainly, like, I feel, this is me outing myself a little bit, I feel very limited in my saxophone ability sometimes. I fake it a lot. I really do.
What?
I'm very classically trained. I you know, scales, all of that. But when it comes to soloing and things of that nature, I feel very limited sometimes. And I started singing as a way to just kind of like open that. To kind of be like an extension of what I can do on horn. And everything on saxophone can be so technical sometimes for me, especially like mentally. And singing is not that at all. Singing is like I'm limitless.
Yeah.
I can do whatever. I can do whatever like I can. Like physically in my own scope. So I feel like a very euphoric sense vocally. More sometimes than I do playing the sax. I get a little nervous when people ask me to play.
That's so crazy. But it's so honest though. Like it's so honest because when I hear it, it doesn't sound like you're limited with the sax. Like, it sounds so good, but that just because that might mean like I don't know enough, but no, you sound great.
It's very rehearsed. It's very
outside
rehearsed.
Looking in, I would have never thought that. That's actually kind of wild.
Yeah, man. It's definitely a different approach, man. You have a very, very, very unique. So I love that. Before we go any further, though, we have a segment. This nigga knows everybody.
Stop, bro.
So we have to find out how y'all met.
Yo, okay.
When was the first time y'all ran into each other? Yo.
So
backstory.
I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you, but I remember. I remember.
Jesus. So what is he about to say?
No. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing crazy. I promise. It's nothing crazy. So we have a mutual friend, Megan. Shout out to Megan.
Yes.
Love you.
Yes.
So we have a mutual friend, and literally, I think she was telling me about Christian. I graduated 2012. I think I might have added you on Facebook maybe 2013, 2012. And we would just chop it up like that. And it'll be like Megan to post something, Christian to be in there. And then we would just be chopping it up. But we hadn't met each other yet. And then, what was it? 2015, I think it was. It was the Poets in Autumn Tour. I ran into you.
Yes.
But I had been talking to you so much that it felt like I had met you already.
Yes.
But I just so happened to run into him that day at the Poets in Autumn Tour. So that's this tour with like Jackie Hill Perry and all of them. And they do like Ezekiel, Preston Perry.
This was back when we was real neo soul.
Oh, yeah. No, Talorian is very neo soul.
You know I'm a neo soul.
Yes.
Like junkie, bro. So I ran into him there.
Not
like
a neo soul junkie.
I am. So we ran into each other there just like by coincidence. And then we just chopped it up for a second. I was like, bro, we got a link. Like, for real. Like, and that was the first time I seen him like for the first time.
Yeah.
And then after that. But besides that, it was just relationship, like just cool, like messaging each other, checking on each other type stuff.
Yeah.
It was just been that ever since.
That is exactly how I remember it. It was very much Facebook first, because you and Megan are like, what, 2 years older than me?
Two years
older than me. And you graduated from DeSoto.
No. I graduated from MacArthur. I went to DeSoto.
Yes.
So I've been knowing Megan since I was in the sixth grade.
Okay.
I've been knowing Megan since I was in the sixth grade. So we went to middle school together. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, Megan, she stayed in DeSoto, and I ended up moving to Irving.
Yes.
So, but I just kept in contact with Megan, and I've been knowing her since I was like pretty much 12, 13. So that's how me and Megan been knowing each other so long.
Yeah.
And we went to the same church. We used to go to Pastor Thomas Church.
Mm-hmm. High
Praise. Mm-hmm. And so that's literally, so I met him through Megan.
Through another person. The fact that it was through another person just reinforces this nigga knows everybody. This nigga just knows everybody.
This nigga knows everybody. I have been to places for other people ran into Taylor. What,
fam,
are you doing here? Bro,
I'm sure that's happened with us too.
For sure. Even on Facebook, I'll Instagram, I'll go, and you too. This nigga know everybody as well.
That's
too.
What I'm saying. He's trying to make it like I just know everybody. All right,
next subject. Both of y'all have mutual followers on Instagram. I'm like, dang, how do we even?
Right.
I'm gonna tell you why though. That's because I lived in Irving, DeSoto, and Oak Cliff.
You lived
there. So you lived everywhere too. Okay. Okay.
He been everywhere.
And see, I've only been in Irving. So I only know Irving. I've never been outside of Irving. I mean, I met my wife in Arlington, but I didn't live there. So
yeah, but
that's funny. That's some funny shit.
Oh man, that's a funny segment.
That's a fun segment. I love it.
Hey, look, and it's going to be a lot more.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be so many more.
Jeez.
Man.
No, we're going to have some guests on. I know that you know that I don't know. I'm sure it's going to happen. It's some people I know that
and
you
And for
know.
Me, it's going to be this nigga knows some people.
Yeah.
Nah. Cap.
Yeah.
Cap.
Yeah, man. It's just crazy because it's like I was in Irving, Oak Cliff, all those areas. And it's like people from those areas know each other that I didn't know knew each other. Mm-hmm. So that's why when I see stuff, I'd be like, oh, I didn't know y'all knew each other. Be like, oh, yeah, we was in this AAU basketball team together. I was like, bro, that's crazy. Like, But I'm not trying to go too far off course. But, this project, man.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing, bro.
Drop the EP, man. Valuable EP.
Yes, bro.
Thank you.
Let's get into this project, bro. Ooh. Your mental state before this project came out. Like, where were you? You know, coming from your last EP, like Unavailable.
Oh,
how was it transitioning into this next project?
So, Unavailable dropped in pandemic, mm-hmm. so 2020, mm-hmm. and I'm still living in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I moved back to San Marcos
mm-hmm.
in 2021,
mm-hmm.
so the following year, about a year later.
Mm-hmm.
That whole year that the first EP is out, I'm not really doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of those songs on this latest drop were written in that like, right when I finished the project. I don't know what it is about. I don't know if any other artist feels this way, but like after you finish a project, you say you're not gonna write, or you say you're not gonna do nothing in it. You just in your bag. And then you really, like, sometimes you be quiet for a little minute, you get right back in your bag. And that's what it was, like an off and on thing for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because from like 2020 to now,
mm-hmm.
personally, it was just a lot. Like, professionally, I think I may have had like two different jobs.
Mm.
When that first EP dropped, mm-hmm. I was working a position at one place.
Mm-hmm.
I took a horrible job offer.
Mm.
And
it'd be like that, man.
I took such a bad job offer. Mm-hmm. And I just to get out of Dallas.
Yeah.
And I went back to San Marcos.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing again. A really, really bad time for me. Like, then mm-hmm. that almost a year, maybe like 7-8 months,
mm-hmm.
From 21 going into 22 was really rough. Like, for real, for real. But I'm writing. Mental state is, we out here, we just gonna have to figure it out. I'm also doing a lot of performing too.
Yeah.
I'm in Austin, kind of like back on the scene once again. Out there gigging, picking up shows and collaborating with people and still doing like feature work and things of that nature, but I'm not really dropping anything on my own. And not really pressed to at that point as well. But still just kind of writing here and there. And then I get done with that horrible job that I moved to, and I'm in the position that I am in now. I've been there for almost 2 years. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe like the top of 2022, I'm like, okay, I need to start recording again. And I was like, it's almost been 3 years. I know that's not a lot for like a lot of people, but I'm not Kanye West. Like, like I'm not Beyonce. Beyonce can go away for like 8 years and 10 years
and reappear.
And reappear and have millions and millions of more followers. I'm an independent artist. Nobody knows me. I can't afford to just be like not doing anything for that long. So the top of 22, I'm like, okay, I need to do something. You know, it's been almost 3 years, and I started recording this project back in 2022, and like the top of 2022, and I started the process with my my homie Eddie. He goes by E-Ron.
On the album.
Oh,
snapped.
Absolutely blazed.
Snapped.
That nigga is crazy. Oh my God. Absolutely blazed. I started the process though, just pulling tracks. And the first person I pulled tracks from was, his name is Jacob, but he goes by Play. He produced Games You Play. He produced Ready or Not. He produced,
I wish I could add a fire emoji.
Yo, Ready or Not.
He produced half of that project. I know though, it's supposed to be. Produced Supposed to Be. Supposed to Be was actually his song, but you know. But I started with that, just pulling tracks first. And I had tracks from a couple of different other places, like maybe four more tracks that didn't make this project. And I just started there and was just writing, and then got back into the studio and just started pulling stuff together over time. Not gonna lie, this took way longer than I thought it would take. It felt like when I recorded that first project, it took no time. That was a few months, you know. But this felt like more labor. Like if it just felt like I was in my head a lot, but in a good way, only because I was trying so hard to like top what I had already done. Like that's we always talk about like that sophomore project.
Sophomore, they say sophomore slump.
Sophomore slump.
So I just want to say this is definitely not a sophomore slump.
It's not
this,
it's not
at all.
Wow. Thank you.
It's not.
I was nervous as hell. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, this has to be. I was very, very meticulous. And it's weird because the first project, all of those tracks were just so like they were so hand pieced together. We were literally pulling together instrumental piece. Like I did tracking for that. Brown Liquor was like a group collective of musicians that offered their talents. And this second project, while it was not that involved on the production side, vocally and lyrically, it was way more taxing than that first project. I was like doing stuff that I had not done vocally on that first project. Like all these crazy stacks and doing things like over and over and over again, like trying to make sure it's right. That first project was like, I can sing. We're just going to showcase that I can sing. Just going to put it out into the ether and see what happens. And the second project was like, we have to be more meticulous. We have to be more intentional. Like with the vocal production.
Absolutely.
With the lyricism and like, with the story, if we're going to tell this type of story, we have to tell it right. So it just, it felt like way more involved, but at the same time, it should, it felt like it should not have been that involved, but it just ended up being that way.
Because I know you kind of answered my question. I was going to ask if you felt pressure
to put this one out, because I noticed on the first one it starts out with missed calls, and it's mainly people like checking up on you. But on this one it starts out, "Where that music, man? Yeah. We need to get to this. We need to get to this music, man."
Got yes, bro.
So, yeah. But you kind of answered. Like, do you feel? Did you feel pressure?
I did. I will say all of the pressure was like self-imposed, though. It was not. There were. I don't think there were as. There were definitely people like.
Where you at?
But not as much as I like dramatized that it made it seem. Yeah, you know, all of that pressure was self-imposed. You know, we talk about like the sophomore slump and just like that phenomenon of wanting whatever is coming next to be better than what you did the last time. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, if I'm going to do this at this point, in my mind, I'm like, there are people looking at me now. My following has, I don't have like a lot of followers, but I've gained like 2,000-3,000 followers the past couple of years off of these, you know, these few songs and these few shows that I've been doing. And if I could be like really, really, really honest, I finished the project and I was like, I mean, it is what it is. It's probably not going to, half of the traction that this project got was not on my bingo card. Like, and we're probably going to talk about some of that. But some of the stuff that came about from this project, I just did not have on my bingo card. But I was feeling so much pressure. You would have thought that I was expecting this to just do just amazing stuff, but I still wasn't. I felt pressure, and I was like, okay, at the end of the day, we just gonna submit something, because I had to get something out this year. To be honest, I still was not even done with the project.
Wow.
That's crazy. Hey, he did all of that and it was number 16.
That's what I was about to say. How did you, that was my literal next question. How did you feel when you saw that number 16 chart position?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Congrats,
that's crazy.
Thank you.
Yes.
I was excited. I didn't even put it out. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I was number 16.
Bro, yes. I was in the bed. I didn't have anything planned for real, for real. I had done like the listening party the day before. That Thursday was just a normal work day. Y'all know how it be Thursday nights.
Right.
Y'all stand up.
Yeah.
If you in Texas, 11 p.m., the new music drops.
Yeah.
So what I do is, anytime something is new, whether it be a feature or a single, I go to my car, I listen to it in the car over and over and over again until I'm, you know, tired of it.
Yeah.
So I did that for about an hour. I listened to the project, ran it a couple of times, turned my phone off, and I get back in my room, and I'm getting ready to go to bed because I have to get up and go to work in the morning. And I'm about to go to bed. By this time, it's maybe like 12:30, close to 1, and I'm getting I'm getting like text messages like crazy. First person to text me was Terrence Leon, and he's another amazing independent artist out in the Austin area, a really good friend of mine. But he is what he calls himself to be, a chart whore. Like, he he is always like checking to see.
Yeah,
that's where his mind is. Terrence is very management, like analytics focused for music, and that's just not where my brain is. I'm like, do the people like it or not?
That's
what I'm focused on. But him being that way, he immediately went and was like, let me see if this nigga's on the charts. And sent me like 5 text messages back, you're on the charts. Bruh. And sent me screenshots. So when he sent it to me, I was like maybe number 30 something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just staying up. I'm like, the fact that I'm even on here is crazy. But I stayed up for like 2-3 hours, like till like 4 in the morning. And I'm literally watching myself jump around.
That's
in between.
Crazy.
I'm like,
wow.
I was at like 30, and then I jumped up to like 22, and then I jumped up to like 19, and then back down to 31, and then like back up to 16. And I was like, okay,
that's wild.
I have to screenshot some of these because I don't know, like, I don't know how this shit works. I don't know how this works, so I'm just gonna screenshot all of them. And then when I wake up in the morning, I see if I'm still on there. I stayed on the R&B charts maybe that whole weekend,
man. Wow, man, that's crazy.
I think the last time I checked, I was at maybe like 80 something before I fell off and was like, okay, well, I had my 15 minutes of fame.
Hey, number 16, bro.
That's incredible, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. When I saw that, I was like, man, I'm happy for my
man. It was not on my bingo card. It was not, especially because I felt like I was just saying, I submitted it to distribution and was like, okay, well,
yeah,
I have to have a project out this year.
Yeah.
I just have to put it out. So we're just going to have to just see what happens.
Yeah.
And I think I was scrambling just to get a rollout together for real. Like, I don't have a team for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
When y'all see my flyers and like the album covers, mm-hmm. and if I'm doing these little videos, that's all, like, I create all of that stuff, man, on my own. Man, my sister took my pictures and everything else was me. Like, all the flyers, all of that.
That's incredible.
And wow, I'm working 50 hours, sometimes 60 hours a week for Redacted University. Ooh. And,
man,
you know, it's just hard to, like, really do all of the stuff that you want to see artists do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just tired. Like, yeah. By the time we submitted,
yeah,
I was like, it is what it is. Yeah. At the end of the day, the people who really rock with me,
exactly,
they're going to enjoy the music.
Exactly.
But being on the charts and,
man,
and all the little shout outs I got, like, the month after, I was not expecting none of that.
Yeah,
like,
extra stuff.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So when you see stuff like that, like charting, does that make you think, okay, the sky is not the limit, I can go as far as I want to go, mm-hmm. with this?
Absolutely. I never, especially this early on, I'm still very new, mm-hmm. artist,
mm-hmm.
did not expect myself to even be on anybody's chart, let alone an iTunes chart.
Yeah,
like, that is crazy. And I'm like, well, dang, if we're doing this now, not gonna lie, you start feeling that pressure again.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So when it's time for me to do something else, it may take a little bit more time again, but that's fine. You know, I'm okay with that. But definitely the sky is absolutely not the limit.
Yeah.
Getting ears and eyes that I never thought I would have,
mm-hmm.
you know, pointed and tuned to me. It's really like cool,
yeah.
A little scary, not gonna lie, but it's still very cool. Ultimately, mm-hmm. a lot of my friends, like, you're just gonna have to get used to it.
Yeah, man. It comes with the territory, I think.
Yeah,
and yeah. It's just you reaching new heights, bro. And I love it.
It's so crazy too, because like the things that you don't expect to happen are inspiring. Because when I saw that, I was inspired. That's, I was insane. Like, man, I can do anything.
Yes,
like,
bro,
that's crazy. So yeah, man, super congratulations on that.
Thank you, man. My question is, as far as like where R&B is now, what do you think of the state of R&B, just music itself? Like, is it like certain people you listening to, like, just heavy right now? Or do you think R&B is in a good place just musically?
Absolutely.
So I have the same question, but mm-hmm. I kind of want to put mine in with his.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing. But do you think the business has anything to do with that, like, mm-hmm. Affecting the sound of R&B? Because as times change, the business changes. Like, do you think that has something to do with it as well?
Yes. So answer your question. I'm not going to say that my word is bond. So please, if you are watching this, I am a nobody.
Oh my goodness. No, stop this.
No.
My views are my own.
No.
But at the same time, they're not. I would say my personal experience is this. My favorite R&B sounds right now,
mm-hmm.
are coming from independent artists.
Makes sense.
Make your own
course. Yeah, he said, yo, go from that.
Yeah.
That is just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that I'm hearing, that I'm listening to, there are maybe only like a couple of artists, mm-hmm. that are signed that I'm like, you got that thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, a lot of the music that I'm listening to are from indie artists,
mm-hmm.
If they're signed, not signed to major labels,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Like a lot of power. A lot of these people still have lots of creative control.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to answer your question. To answer your question, I do think that R&B is like in a very, this has been a very good year for R&B.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't care what nobody says. If you are having trouble finding good R&B music, it's because you are simply blind and you're not looking for it.
Exactly.
It's literally right there. From the most notable artists,
mm-hmm.
to people like me who just like creeping in the underground scene. Like,
yeah.
It's so much good music out there, mm-hmm. to be held and to be on, like, and to really listen to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I do think that the best of the best comes from artists who are like still in the realm of like creating their own sounds mm-hmm. and like have a hand in, you know, not to say that they like me and just don't have a team at all. Mm-hmm. Like, cause that's, you know, that's a different situation. But those artists who are still like boots to ground in the trenches in their own work. And like, y'all know industry. Right. That's not the same for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some, most of these really, really big artists are just coming to the studio and doing what people are telling them to do.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And, you know, no shade. Hell, one day I hope to do that. I want to pull up to the studio and be like, this is what you're singing. Wonderful. Let's do it. You know? But for the most part, the good music, that the music that I love is coming from people who are really, like, grinding and putting that work in.
Yeah.
R&B is absolutely not dead. It is alive and well. And if you are saying that it's dead and you're not really finding any good R&B, it's too much R&B music.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was listening to a playlist yesterday and I'm like, I don't even know half these people.
Yeah,
and these people dropped this year and this music is good. Like, I'm getting put on to a new R&B artist, whether it be traditional R&B, whether it be R&B and soul, whether it be this new alternative R&B way. Like, there's so many. And I love that all of these new subgenres of R&B are popping up.
Yeah.
Because it can be hard for a lot of the newer artists to, like, really place themselves in traditional R&B, right? Like, y'all know traditional R&B is very, like, almost not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's all of these little fusions and little sub pockets and subgenres within the larger genre of R&B.
Exactly.
So I love that there is, like, this space or these little spaces being curated for people to say, oh, I mean, it's not traditional R&B, but it's like, it has, you know, that vibe. So we're just going to put it in there and you just kind of figure out where you belong, you know, and maybe you're creating a lane within the genre. So I appreciate that as well. I think it's given a lot more of us time and room to really get into the genre and be impactful and, like, you know, throw our contributions in there without saying, like, this is traditional R&B.
And I wholeheartedly agree with it, because I think subgenres, even when we discuss hip-hop, there's so many different subgenres. There's experimental hip-hop, there's 90s hip-hop, there's hardcore hip-hop. So I think that's what makes people be like, okay, this specific thing is dead. But you're absolutely right, you just have to sift through and find what you're wanting to hear and what you want to look for. Who were some of your favorite R&B artists that came, or, like, what were your some of your favorite R&B projects that came out this year?
Okay, just Jalen Josey, Southern Delicacy.
Put me on, please.
Amazing project. I saw Jalen back in February. She opened for Ari Lennox, and I was blown away.
Yeah,
like, I was so hooked from that moment. Like, she performed the single that she had just dropped, which was one of the singles from the project that she dropped later on in the year. And the whole album from top to bottom, beautiful project. She has an amazing voice. Her style, her swag is everything. Love Jalen Josey's project. Of course, Victoria Monet.
Incredible.
Of course.
Killing it.
Incredible.
Absolutely killing it. Kenyon Dixon. Grammy nominated Kenyon Dixon now. It's so cool to, like, see him from, like, SoundCloud days to now.
It's crazy.
Out here really doing his thing. So many projects that dropped this year. I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check out the
Jalen Josey project. Yeah, was really good.
Absolutely. I want to check that out.
I know me and Tim, we've been on like Naomi Sharon's music.
Man, Naomi Sharon.
Put me on.
Yes, bro.
I'm hooked. Do you like Sade?
Yes.
You gonna love Naomi Sharon.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say. She just signed to OVO.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hope Drake doesn't, like, cause, you know, Drake, he be kind of shaky sometimes with his artists. So, like, I hope he don't, you know, hope he does right by her.
Yeah, she's too talented to not go to the heights that I think she's gonna go to. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, she.
Her and Cleo Soul.
Cleo Soul.
Yes, she had an amazing project.
Yes.
Perfection.
Yeah. Amazing perfection. Project.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, with this project, I noticed you did, like you were saying, like, it was a lot of storytelling. Like, you know, you was kind of in your some parts of it, like Usher Confessions bag to me. A little bit of a sprinkle of Frank Ocean Channel Orange to me.
Yeah.
With the storytelling.
with some of these stories, was it like all true story, true experiences, or was some of them like just like some of you like, okay, I just kind of want to make a song like this just for like the vibe or whatever? Was it all just personal experience, or was just
yes, I do think that. And I think I said something like this the first time we all talked.
Yeah.
But I think the gift of my lyricism, mm-hmm, is to like really put myself in a position,
mm-hmm,
and think about how I will feel,
mm-hmm,
yeah, and then just write about that.
Yeah.
I will say that every song on this is like inspired by a true event.
Okay.
Whether or not it's like completely true.
Yeah.
They're all inspired by a true event. So, mm-hmm, like there is some major element in every track that, mm-hmm, I'm like, oh, okay, this song is about this. Mm-hmm. You actually felt that way.
Yeah.
The song that I get asked about a lot is the acoustic track, mm-hmm, Like That, because the storytelling on that is just very direct,
mm-hmm,
and like talking about a situation. It was like, did you really have that conversation with somebody? And the answer is yes. I absolutely did.
Yeah.
You cannot move in. We actually cannot see each other anymore because you caught feelings. Not supposed to happen. So
wow.
Stuff like that. Yeah. A lot of these songs are definitely inspired by true events.
Yeah. And I would think that true events and experiences makes for great writing, right?
Like absolutely.
That helps the writing process.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I feel like I'm stifled sometimes when it comes to writing about certain subjects, because, mm-hmm, while, you know, I feel like I have a lot of experience, I still, mm-hmm, don't. Like,
yeah,
I haven't really been in like a real relationship for real. Mm-hmm. Just like lots of situationships, or,
yeah,
you know, having feelings for a person and then not working out. But,
yeah,
mm-hmm, the moment that I get into a real relationship and it should not work out. Y'all be making jokes about Mary J. Blige.
Oh my goodness. Hey, look, some of the best Mary J. Blige projects, man, comes from a hurt Mary J. Look, listen, I love hurt Mary J. Blige. I ain't gonna lie.
Listen, y'all be making them jokes, but it just makes me wonder, like, dang, and that's why I'm glad I hate that I took like a few years between the last project and this, mm-hmm, project, and it'll probably be a few more years between this one and the next, like,
mm-hmm,
EP or album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just want, like, I need to live.
I was just about to say that. I was like, it's I know it's hard to just get into the next project if you haven't lived.
It is.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if I was an artist, I would have to live,
yeah,
to write. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it would have to influence each other. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm, experience.
So experience. Exactly. So
absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. You killed it with this one, bro. I was telling Tim earlier, I was like, I'm just putting this out there. Ready or not, there's going to be babies conceived.
Might have already been.
I get some of the craziest text messages and DMs on, like, literally yesterday, one of my friends was like, by the way, one of your songs is very dangerous.
That's a good way to put it.
Oh my God. What are you saying?
What do you mean?
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Please, don't blame me. Have some couth about yourself. Some self-control. Please.
Yo, man. Yeah, man.
One of my favorite moments on this project was the valuable interlude.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about like self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm big on self-love.
Absolutely.
So, how did you pull yourself out of the dark place, or if you were in a dark place, how did you get yourself out of that dark place to be able to put this on record? Because I feel like a lot of artists, they're not vulnerable. Like,
yeah.
So I think that's why, mm-hmm, this is one of my favorite interludes ever, by the
same
way. Like,
wow. Same.
Ever. Because
I'm glad you said that. I was really nervous about that. I was like, oh, this is really mushy and I don't know how this will be received.
Nah.
But it just felt like, one, I needed something to tie the project together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only way I can like could describe what really made me like finish the album. Like, mm-hmm, that's how I was feeling about all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about me moving back to San Marcos, and I was like really depressed.
Yeah.
Like I was that, like, I don't know if anybody else felt that way after COVID, like trying to come out of the pandemic, and it was just really, really rough.
Yep,
and trying to adjust to life after, and you know, it was just really, really bad. Like that was my first time being alone and not in like school. Like I'm a big boy now.
Yeah.
Like I got big boy bills.
Mm.
I'm not used to this.
Like, sitting with yourself.
Sitting
sitting with your thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah. Sitting with myself. Sitting with my thoughts.
Yeah.
In an apartment all by myself.
Mm.
No furniture. Just in the living room, in the dark.
Yeah.
But come home from work, and I was just like I knew something was wrong, but I didn't have the language for it. Like I would just come in, and I wouldn't even get fully undressed. I would just lay down until the next day.
Wow.
And just get up and try to put myself together as best as I could to go and go back into work.
Yeah.
And it was really, really hard. Like I would have moments of enjoyment where I'm like performing or going to a show, but I wouldn't even stay. Like you can ask my friends, I wouldn't even stay after I got done performing. They would want me to hang out, and I'm like, nah, I got something to do.
Yeah,
I'm going back to the house and just laying, sitting around in the dark. And there were a couple of things that really like pulled me out of that place. Of course, I'm a really big gym person, so I was going to the gym a lot more, and just really throwing myself in that vein, finding an actual church family and church friends, because I mean, I've said this a couple of times already, but I'm a church boy at heart. And that was a period of time where I was like not really as involved in church, and it didn't feel right, but I just didn't have the motivation to do it. So I really had to force myself to like get out there, really lean on God a lot more, and trust Him to put people in my life to help pull me out of that place. Mainly because I wasn't gonna be able to do that by myself. Like, had it not been for the people around me and me actually having like the smidge of vulnerability to say, y'all, this shit is hard. And I'm not really feeling life right now. Like, I'm not feeling life to the point where I don't want to be here. And I didn't have that conversation with a lot of people, but the couple of people that I did have it with, like, they really helped. And I mean, people see me now and they're like, you know, you seem a lot happier. I'm like, I am, you know, opening up every time I get the chance to, and if I feel safe enough to talk about like those times, you know, that helps.
Yeah.
Vulnerability is really what helps you get out of that place for real, for real. And it's so funny that you mentioned like that interlude is very vulnerable, but that's literally what did it. Like the couple of times that I was able to sit down and talk to people and say, I feel like X, Y, and Z, and I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
Cool. Just come over and hang out. Like you don't even have to do nothing. Or next time you go somewhere, invite me.
So you don't feel
so weird, you know, being in those situations. But yeah, that was a really rough time. And I think that when I first started writing this project, like I said, there were a couple of songs that did not make the project.
When you told me that, I was like, man, like,
I have to hear this.
I was like, I wonder.
Where's the flash drive? Where is it?
I honestly don't think y'all would, after hearing the way the project turned out, those two or three tracks that I started but didn't finish would have put this project in an entirely different like lane and place.
Yeah.
Because it was really like, remember, I started writing this while I was like sitting in the dark. And a couple of those tracks was just like, you know,
That's crazy.
A few of those are really just like raw, and I was really finna come out the gate like swinging on some really, really, and I kind of did still, but it was really like from a raw, sad place. It was almost like Brent Faiyaz-ish. Love Brent, but sometimes I can't turn him off.
I feel where you're coming from.
Well, listen, I'm with y'all.
Yeah, it gets in that, you know, he kind of in that toxic R&B lane.
Super toxic.
I love it when it's time for it. It's not always time for it.
I feel that, man.
That's amazing. Because, like, just the fact that, like, when you had mentioned that you had to reach out to people to see you could help. A lot of people are afraid to ask for help. Yeah, and I think a lot of people will sit in a stage of depression or whatever it is that they're going through, and because they're afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of people don't understand either, like how important it is to do things for yourself. Like, like that's what self-love. I think people think self-love is like getting up and putting on a face mask, but it's not. It's literally like going to the gym, like making sure you're eating healthy and giving yourself time to focus on your hobbies and what you love. So I love that, man.
I think the one thing that I noticed, like, especially at the end of last year going into this year, it was like, dang, I'm in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
All of my people out here.
Yeah.
I got a few friends out there, but I didn't really have anybody there. My life is so multifaceted and mm-hmm. so many things happen. And it's like, I'm taking all these gut punches, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just taking that shit on the chin. And I'm not really giving myself the opportunity to really like talk about those things.
Yeah.
You know? And there's only like one person who I could pick up the phone and call and vent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I could be honest, she got a lot going on too.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was just like I need somebody.
Yeah.
Or I need something. And I made it a point to, I know everybody has been on like this really big mental health wave, so I don't want this to turn into that. And sometimes it sounds like really performative, but I will say like I found a therapist
and it
really did help, mainly because when you do so much, and y'all know this, when you, like I said, you doing a lot and things happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're not always able to react in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your problems aren't self-imposed. Your problems are imposed on you by other people.
Yep. Yep.
And it's like, it's not your problem, but it's your thing to fix.
Yeah.
Right.
Man.
How do you deal with that? And you have to do so much. And it's like, if I don't have nobody to talk to, this shit is heavy. I need to find somebody to talk to.
Right.
And sometimes my therapist isn't always just like sitting with a pen and a pad mm-hmm. and diagnosing me. A lot of our sessions are like, just talk to me and tell me what's going on.
Yes.
And it feels like I'm finally having my moment to talk about some of the stuff that has been impacting me here and here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of us don't get that opportunity. So even if you like, just need somebody to talk to and get that shit off your chest.
Yeah.
Find you a therapist for that reason.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Don't think that you just need to find a therapist so they can tell you X, Y, and Z is wrong. And
right.
My therapist is not my life fixer.
He is
somebody who I can listen to
mm-hmm.
and he gonna give me a couple of suggestions.
Yeah.
And we gonna talk about it the next week.
Yeah.
He is my biggest cheerleader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I did not think I would ever find that in a therapist.
Yeah.
Like, but all of my decisions with the music, with the job, in my professional life, he is literally always there, like rooting me on in the way that I needed it to happen. And that really helped me out a lot too.
Man, that's beautiful to hear, bro. That's really beautiful to hear. I'll say my last question is, what do you want this album to do that it hasn't done, or are you happy with what it's doing now, or what do you want it to do, or what do you want to do with this? Do you want to, you know, stay independent? Do you want this to reach certain people? Like, what do you want this project to do?
I think since it's dropped, it's definitely gotten some attention
mm-hmm.
That I did not think it would get.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more than I could have ever asked for. Like, I think mm-hmm. if that just continues to happen, I will be happy with what I have put out into the world.
Yeah,
you know, like, I can't change it now. It's out there.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that I really want to, and I've had the opportunity to write for a couple of people.
Ooh, okay.
But
okay.
I really want more of that opportunity.
Okay.
Like, I want to work with people who can help me, like, perfect my pen even more.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be in like rooms, and I want to be, you know, the person that people call to be like, oh, we need that Chris Teague. You know, so if I could just put that out there, I think that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I love singing. I love being able to like arrange things vocally,
mm-hmm.
working with the producers and, you know, my recording engineer, Eddie, mm-hmm. on this last project, and working with Play and working with Brian Johnson, like, those guys really pulled something out of me that I did not know I had, especially Eddie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really was like surprised at that, and I just want the opportunity to like pull more out of myself. I think that, and that's a good thing, you know. Like you'll probably ask people this question and they want like more things. I just want more from myself. You know, like
I think
this project really showed me that I have the ability to do some amazing things. These tracks that are on this project, if you would have asked me 2 years ago that if I would be singing about these things in this manner, I would have told you absolutely not. And I'm just so surprised. Like, I listen to it in totality, and I'm like, damn.
Like, you did your thing, man.
I was that first month, that I was only, I was my own, like, favorite artist of the year. I was like, number two, like, yes, right after Terrace Martin. I'm like, damn, my project only been out since October, and I'm already, I must listen to myself, you know?
I love that, bro. I love that. I love that, man.
Last one for me. Do you see yourself continuing to put out EPs, or are you going to work on like a full length album like next? Or I saved this question for last because I was like,
you asked me this question last time. You know, album is just so much pressure.
Yeah, I understand.
And an album is like, one, that you need a team for that. You need a focused, hardcore, like an album, your debut album. Because I've only dropped singles and EPs. I have not dropped a debut album yet. But your album, especially your debut, that requires intentionality. That requires dedication. Like, that requires a team of people who are like, this is what we finna do. This is the direction we going in. And I think in order for an album to happen, I just need to be able to like pinpoint the people to say like, can we do this? Can you be a part of this, you know, this project? And I also want it to happen organically, right?
Like,
in an ideal situation, I live life, I write songs, and when it's time for me to put out a project, I actually have way more songs than I would need for, you know, an EP. So I think like maybe just one more EP. One or two more EPs. I think if there's anything that I desire to do musically, I definitely want to do like an unplugged project.
Let's go.
We need that.
I need that yesterday.
We need that.
This year has really been like a big unplugged year for me. I started doing So Far Sound shows. And that was a really big like, I just love the sound of me and a guitar.
Or
I just love the sound of me and keys, which I knew that because I'm a church kid. But that is something that I desire to like really tap into and actually give like tangible product to people who really rock with me. So I think if I had to say what would be next, definitely that. Some type of acoustic session, some type of acoustic project. Definitely what I'm hoping. Or an unplugged. You know.
Absolutely.
Especially after doing all these So Far shows this year.
I'm mad that I didn't get to catch the show that I missed.
This man live. He go crazy. He go crazy live. Like, I'm talking about like one of the best shows I've ever been to.
Don't rub it in now. Don't rub it in.
Oh, you came to the spot.
I came a few weeks ago.
I'm mad.
I was like, what show was you at? Mad. You came to the Dallas show.
Man, I was there like, I'm glad I came, bro. I was like,
I bet you are.
This was special because I had been reaching out to him. I was like, when you doing a performance in Dallas, I need a Dallas show, bro.
And I felt so like when I put out that list or that little run of shows that I was gonna be doing, the amount of people in Dallas that was mad at me.
I messaged him. I was like, where is Dallas?
If you go back and listen, when we get done, go back and look at my profile and look at that initial post and go look at them in them comments.
Oh man.
Oh my
no
god.
No Dallas.
It was on your class. No question mark.
No Dallas. Like, no, not right now.
The disrespect.
Yes.
It was like, but this is your home.
It was a lot of that. It was they took that, man. My people said, my uncle was like, what's going on? What is happening? My dad was like, you're not gonna come home?
Bruh.
What's happening?
That's crazy, bruh.
We made it happen though. We made it happen.
Yeah, man. Yeah, incredible.
Definitely catch a show.
Yeah, man. Even if we gotta get to Austin, man. We're gonna get to a show all together. Yeah, man, I ain't got no more talk, bro. Anything
you want to plug?
Anything?
Let everybody know where they can find you at on social media.
Y'all can find me everywhere. Everywhere. Go find me, follow me, share my stuff. I'm on all social media platforms as Chris Teague _.
Yes, sir.
That's Teague, like league, but with a T. Yes, and Chris is spelled normally if you are a sane person. CHRIS. So that's me. I'm on all streaming platforms, all of them, even Jay-Z. So I don't know how.
Bandcamp too? You on Bandcamp?
I got to check. I think I am though.
Okay.
I think I'm on there.
Okay.
But yeah, follow me there. Spotify users, follow me on Spotify. Run those streams up as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think that's it.
Yes, sir. Well, that is the TNT. This is a TNT podcast, man. And ladies and gentlemen, Chris Teague.
We got to clap. Incredible project.
Yes, man.
Incredible
project. Thank y'all for having me.
Yes, sir. Amazing. Yes.